Welcome to another opportunity to study the Word of God with us today. This is your friend, Joe Temple, speaking. And as the Lest We Forget program reaches you this day, we trust that you are remembering our Lord Jesus Christ is the only one in all the world who can meet the need of your heart and life. We've learned through all these years of fellowship with our Lord that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. So today, why don't we just ask God to meet your need, whatever that need is? Father, we do come to you humbly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are bold to come, not because we are righteous, we have none. We are bold to come because you've told us, come boldly to the throne of grace to make our wants and our wishes known to thee. We come boldly. So much to pray about, so many needs. We do ask that you meet that need that is weighing most heavily on some person's heart this moment. But Father, we feel particularly moved today to pray for those dear folk who are alone. Those dear folk who are alone, whatever the reason is, they're alone. And we know from experience how sad, how bad that feeling can be. Thou hast said that thou art the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and we ask that thou wilt just this moment fill the lonely gap with the love of God. Open thy word now as we look into it today. Help us to understand it. We'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We're studying together the Gospel of Matthew, as you know. Will you open your Bibles to the first chapter of Matthew's Gospel? Of course, we've already noticed the first part of the first chapter is given over to a genealogy, and we've discussed that with you. We'll notice the second part of the chapter today is given over to what I have been pleased to call, for a better way of expressing it, Joseph's dilemma. I'd like for us to read those verses together today. It'll take a little time, make possible maybe shorter comments, or make necessary shorter comments, but I just feel we need to have the whole story right here fresh on our minds as we begin. And so we read, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Joseph's dilemma was due to the seriousness of betrothal. You see, betrothal is not a mere engagement, as engagements are in our day. Betrothal was as binding as the marriage certificate itself. If the man died, the woman was considered a widow. Unfaithfulness was punished by death. When you have the time, read what is recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, particularly verses 25 through 27, and you will see what I'm talking about. Imagine, if you can, what happened in the heart of Joseph when this young peasant girl, whom he loved devotedly, and to whom he had been betrothed, suddenly was found pregnant. Even in our day, pregnancy presents a problem. We must admit there seems to be less shame related to pregnancy now than there used to be. The shame in pregnancy now is, it seems to me, the efforts of men to abort the pregnancy, instead of recognizing that young people have made a mistake, that they've sinned against God in premarital relationships, and then say, God, I'll take the responsibility of the child that has been conceived within me. And there are so many ways, so many alternatives to abortion, that the man that suggests abortion for the problem of pregnancy is thinking more of self than he is of the child. Someone has said, and I often repeat it since I first heard it, there are no illegitimate children. There are illegitimate parents. There are murdering parents now. And that is sad, sad, sad. I must say that in the light of the fact that a young man faced a much greater problem in his day than any young man or young woman has faced in our day. It was a dilemma for Joseph. Here was this dear girl that he, with whom he was in love, found to be pregnant. We must recognize as well that the dilemma was due to the character of Joseph. For if you remember, when we were reading this passage of Scripture down in the 10th verse, we read that Joseph was a just man. Down in the 19th verse, he was a just man. He was fair. He was honest. He was not willing to fulfill the demands of Deuteronomy 22 and make her a public example. He wanted to handle it some way out of kindness and out of love. The condition could not be ignored. Here is an illustration that could well be applied to the problem of pregnancy of unwed mothers today. If they could be surrounded by love, and if individuals who are dealing with them could be considered just men, not ordinary men, but just men, men who are just. Not with the idea of getting even, and not with the idea of teaching lessons, and not with the idea of heaping shame, but surrounding the pregnant, unwed mother with love. I say, Joseph had a dilemma because he was a just man and he did not want to fulfill all of the things related to the law of Deuteronomy. He was a merciful man as well. Something had to be done. And so what did Joseph do? He said he would just put her away privately. He would just break off the relationship and make no announcement about it. I'm sure that Joseph, being the man he was going to do what he could to help her, but he was just going to keep it as quiet as he could. Sometimes quietness, you know, is not deception. Sometimes quietness is related to love and understanding. We don't have to tell everything we know. And when we are asked, we don't have to lie. We just simply have the right to say that is not a matter of discussion. And though that won't always end the matter, it will slow it down somewhat. We notice there in the 19th verse that Joseph was minded to put her away privately. The word minded here is the translation of the Greek word ebulothene, which may be translated take counsel, resolve. Perhaps Joseph discussed this. He took counsel. What can I do about this? What is the best way to handle this situation? And I believe one of the greatest ministries today are the counseling centers that are operated by Bible-believing people for unwed mothers. I'm not talking about the counseling centers that are available today to tell you how to murder children. I'm talking about the counseling centers that profess an alternative that is born in love. Oh, it was a terrible thing for Mary to have been put away as a public example, because the phrase public example here is the translation of the Greek word diamaktisai, which may be rendered put to an open shame. As a matter of fact, that's the very way that it is translated in the book of Hebrews and the 6th chapter and the 6th verse in an entirely different fashion, but it helps you to understand that people who say, well, folk haven't faced things that way before, they're worse now. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Yes, these people who reject the cause of Christ put him to an open shame. What about these folk who handle the dilemma of unwed mothers without understanding and without love? Not only are they putting the person involved to an open shame, I believe they are bringing shame and reproach on the life of Christ. In the light of his law, in the light of his own character, Joseph spent a great deal of time trying to decide what to do. For the word thought here is the translation of a Greek word which means to ponder. When a person ponders over something, he says, is this the thing to do? Is that the thing to do? I've got to know what to do. I can't act until I know. Thank God when we're faced with any problem, be it a dilemma such as this that Joseph faced, or any problem, we are able by the grace of God to have the answer, as is often the case with the Lord's children. Joseph did not have to make the decision. He either fell asleep or God caused him to fall asleep, and something happened. We'll talk about that thing that happened the next time we meet together, and I do hope you will be able to be with us, and may God bless each one of you today.